The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com and also join our online community and exchange your ideas. Now, today's topic is gut feel versus BI, and our guests for today's show are Tony Bender, who's the Vice President and CIO with Alberta Culver. Morning, Tony.
Good morning, Sanjo.
How are you, sir?
I'm great. Wonderful. Beautiful. Sunny day in Chicago.
I know. Once few and far between type of days, right?
Exactly.
So thank you so much. It was great having you here.
Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you so much again. Now, we also have Stuart Kippelman, who's the Vice President and CIO with Covanta Energy. How are you, Stuart?
I'm very good. Thank you for the invitation as well.
We're going to have a ball, trust me. This is because the topic that we picked up today is about decision-making, and guess when you were not making decisions when you were in a CIO hot seat. So, and then the goal here is to try to figure out that is there a balance, or if this decision-making is always going to remain an art, or it's going to convert into a science given the cool tools that we have available today as BI. So let's start with you, Tony. When we talk about the IT decisions, we make small and big both type of decisions. What level of due diligence is truly performed at a formal level? And when do you define decide whether you should have a due diligence behind a decision being made?
Sanjog, is this these are decisions that the business is making or that IT is making around investment decisions?
Because when we use the word BI, it is not truly a decision being made by IT alone. The business is using BI to make a decision, but yes, there would be some BI business decisions being made versus IT decisions being made.
Yeah, and I think, as I look at this, is that, we're serving the business, and our business, associates, our counterparts in the business, they're having to make decisions every day, hundreds of decisions that they're looking at making, and they're relying heavily on the information that we're providing them and through business intelligence and other analytic mechanisms. And so I think to a large degree is that, in order to make better informed decisions, they're saying, well, what data do I have? What information do I gather from that data? And then how do I establish insights so that I can act upon that data? And so I think to me it's all about business intelligence providing the ability to get insight and so that we can act upon it, because otherwise there is no real value to the business. So I think many of the executives in the company are making they have experiential knowledge that they're making decisions off of, but I think depending on the size of the prize, going back to your question of due diligence of how much needs to be performed, is that if you're looking at a decision that has, if the size of the prize of the decision is very large, then obviously you need to do more due diligence. And then the quality of the information that they're getting through BI or advanced analytics. So I think to a large degree is that it's going to be a continuum of, If it's a fairly low risk scenario, then you can be very gut feeling sort of decision making. The higher up the curve of expenditure and cost and risk to the company, obviously, the more due diligence needs to be made.
Stu, in your view, when you have looked at people making decisions, whether for business or for IT, when they say that I'm performing due diligence, do they really have a defined approach to doing that due diligence, or, you know what, let's check everything, whatever's possible, and then make a decision? Is there a process? Is there a formal process of due diligence behind every decision, at least which is worth something?
I'll support everything that was just said as well. I think it depends on the size of the company. I think it depends on not just the size of the decision, but the impact to the business of the decision. So there are obviously many small decisions that can have a very significant impact on the company's well-being. So I think that's going to vary. BI is one of the many tools that IT has, and one of the many tools that IT brings to the table from a value creation perspective. And also depending on the decision, it will depend on how big of a percentage of that decision is given to the BI capability. So in my experience, I've seen both sides where business intelligence is actually used to automate decisions on one end. The other side, I've seen it where it is just one of the inputs into that overall gut experience of an executive that needs to make a decision. They use BI as another level of input in that decision-making process.
Now, how important does IT become to when they look at, the business looks at IT to say, you are going to provide me BI, so I'm sure you will do whatever best it is. How much do they trust what you produce?
It just depends on the company and the executive. I think as time progresses and IT is moving from and has been moving from more of a back office function to more value creation, even in many companies probably that are listening to the point of generating revenue from IT or technology capabilities. I think that trust is being earned more and more, but it is a trust. It's not something that's given for free. It's IT's responsibility to make sure that the solution being delivered obviously is what the business is looking for. You're answering the right, the appropriate questions that the business is asking, The sources of data are of quality. So it's the usual. It could be the old model of garbage in, garbage out, where if you're using BI on top of old systems that you have not verified the data or the data is inaccurate, you're not going to get good quality results. And the quality of the data and IT doing due diligence of the data is critical to make sure that the answer is accurate.
So, Tony, in your view, suppose IT is asked to shepherd the data and the data quality and cleansing, do you really realistically feel that it is, first of all, our responsibility? And secondly, even if you are given that responsibility, are we successfully able to do it? Because the data of origination, the origination of data happens at many of those places where the business is in control.
Yeah, actually, it's a very good point and one that's really germane to us here at Alberto, because we just went through a large SAP implementation recently, and we've had discussions around master data integrity of and not just what's in the system, but what is the sustaining mechanism for it. And we have we put into place a central data management group that actually rolls up into our supply chain organization. But we were, you know, for a series of a few months, I was taking responsibility within IT for that data. And I'd have to say that IT can play that role in terms of governing it as far as auditing the data, ensuring data quality standards. The reality, though, is that much of that data in terms of ownership goes back to business transactions. And those business transactions, there has to be ownership within the business to really ensure that data is correct. And some of it has very profound effects for new product launches, for supply chain management, et cetera. So I don't think it's wise to have that function, managed under IT. I do think that there should be clear business ownership. IT certainly can assist the business in providing data hygiene and cleansing technologies to help ensure that, we have efficient ways of auditing the data.
Now, with that being said, does business really care when you are providing BI that they should go and first clean the data for you to get any tools? Because if they're looking up to you, they're looking up to you for a full solution. Tony?
Well, to that point, I mean, I think they are looking for a full solution, but I'd have to say BI as a general umbrella is a very broad topic and typically is viewed initially as sort of the reporting framework of your organization against, your enterprise transaction data. Many specific solutions within the business are, where people are really gaining insight or around more analytic solutions that are subsets of that data. And so I do believe that, the trust of the business of whatever the solution is starts with data and data cleanliness and the hygiene of that data. So that is something that can't be underestimated in any BI initiative. It's not as simple as just saying, well, let's just go buy some BI tools. You have to start with that data. But I do think, so from an end-to-end standpoint, you have, what problem am I trying to solve within BI, and what is the source data that drives it, how am I going to present that the result of that in a way that actually I can get insight from? And so I do think that you can subset the problem within this BI solution to what problem am I trying to solve, and then get more granular as to what the source data for that is.
Now, with what the background that we saw in terms of the challenges that we have, do you think that could be the very reason why a big percentage of decisions, even in fact, IT as well as business, are being made based on gut versus pure BI or using more and more of BI? So do we trust BI for us to really say, let me let go of the gut part or reduce the percentage that I'm going to use when it comes to making decisions? So let's explore this when we come back from the break. Please stay tuned.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Dialogue is the single most powerful leadership tool we have to make a difference in the world. Leading Conversations with host Cheryl Esposito creates a place for that dialogue. Tune into the Voice America Business Channel every Friday as Cheryl hosts new conversations among leaders from around the world in business, government, art, economics, and social change. We'll explore big ideas and everyday actions and learn how their own leadership has led them to discover a newfound sense of possibility in the world. Leading Conversations with Cheryl Esposito, bringing big thinkers together in conversations that make a difference right here on the Voice America Business Channel every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Stop wasting time. Get what you want. Live your dream life. The Dream Big Revolution. Imagine having more freedom, better health, more money, happiness. Could your business be more successful? Unless you're living the life you want, you're wasting precious time. Your life is too valuable to waste. Let Leanne Hilgers help you find health, wealth, and happiness. Listen in and live your dream life. Join the Dream Big Revolution. Tune in every Tuesday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Seventh Wave Network.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjoy Gall.
Welcome back. So, Stu, given all that we spoke in the first segment, it looks like that, yes, we are working and making strides towards getting the BIA under control and things would be good. But there's so many factors which look outside of control of IT. And in a way, it was also claimed that there are some areas, including data cleansing and data quality, which should not belong to IT. Do you think that is all contributing towards this issue of people moving more towards still gut feel-based decision-making versus heavily relying on BI?
There's two sides to the answer. I think that people will always use gut in making business decisions. As BI gets better, meaning that the tools become more reliable, I don't mean from an IT side. I mean from a data, from a the ability to predict and to think like the business. As that continues to improve, you'll see BI take more of a prominent role in that decision-making process where it's not today. So, for example, in one of in one experience that I had, I worked for a company where we sold medical devices. And those devices contained an enormous amount of data within each device. And every night, that data was sent home. Basically, it was transmitted over the internet through a secure connection, and it was put into databases. And some of it was over 100 megs a day per device. So it was an enormous amount of data. It was highly accurate data. But BI was not really used. This data was used to do some basic troubleshooting when a problem occurred. We were able to look at that and say, "Wow, you know, there's a real opportunity here." We were able to take that data, mine it. So truly using one of the great capabilities of BI and mining that data for hidden meaning. And I believe looking for hidden meaning is one of the true, not just frontiers, but true value creation areas for BI. We were able to actually mine that data, and through a series of predictive capabilities and really looking at the data, we were able to predict failures within hours of accuracy of some of these devices, and be able to proactively go out to customers and say, "We know your device is going to fail within a day. We're here for a prior service call. We'll fix this at the same time." And it reduces customer, it reduces downtime, it reduces costs on both customer side and on the company side. And I think it's a great example of how BI can truly be used to change the way the business looked. So it moved from a gut. In this case, it moved from a gut feel to a very highly BI-focused and accurate feel that's something that a human could not look through 200 megs or 100 and something megs a day of data for every one of these devices sold. You had to rely and trust the tools, and they proved to be accurate.
Now, Tony, in your world, how much of this lack of being able to control every portion of how data gets originated, cleansed, quality is maintained, and then used in BI, and that control not being with us, actually prevents you from being able to serve the executive or the business, for that matter, in terms of how they make decisions, and then how much do they buy the lack of control?
Well, ultimately, the business recognizes that that there is a accountability for the quality of the transactional data, and we've got some metrics in place that we're using to monitor data health associated with it. But I think that so from that perspective, there's always somewhat of a challenge because the business, no matter what reporting you're producing, there's that element. As far as data, but there's also an element of doubt that arises from a standpoint of the business analysis that's put together in order to architect how business intelligence will be used and how data will be presented and viewed in a way that will provide insights to the business, so that they can actually decide how, what are they learning from this information that is being presented, and how has that been digested and acted upon by the business. And so one of the other challenges besides data that we find is just clarity from the business of really understanding, connecting the dots between what problem are you trying to solve and making sure that whatever we are constructing together in BI, we're solutioning it in a way that allows us to really visualize the data in a meaningful way to gain insight from it. And so many of us are visual people, and we like to see things spatially. We don't like tables of numbers. We like things in a visual way, whether it's a chart or a graph or a dial or something of that nature. But underlying to that are how are we architecting the solution that takes that data and converting it into a meaningful visualization so that you can act upon it. That element is also sometimes a challenge because as we work with a business, it's not always clear. They may have an end state in mind, but they're not clear of how to get there. So sometimes we struggle with requirements from the business on what exactly are they wanting to do and how do we ensure that we're, appropriately delivering that through BI.
Just to add what one thing to Tony's comments, I think there's a lot of value that IT can create for IT with BI, and in a case like that, we own the data, but in the case where we're providing a tool for the business, there needs to be business sponsorship and business ownership for that data and that data quality. Otherwise, the output is never going to be accurate.
Now, actually, to elaborate that, Stu makes a great point, is that, sometimes we are very quick, as a business, we're very quick to look to technology to solve our problems. And while technology is a powerful enabler, but we also have to really be thoughtful about what is the problem, and then how do we define what that is and deliver it through the technology, through BI. In that regard, clear business sponsorship and ownership of who really owns this project and how are we going to deliver it is so critical and frequently overlooked or dismissed in terms of getting a fast path to a solution. And many BI projects have failed or have underwhelmed the business because of a lack of business ownership and accountability and clear direction from the business around what problem that we're trying to solve.
So while we see that there's an adoption issue, that the very BI project you might have spent millions in or whatever effort that was that goes into it, it somehow doesn't get adopted. The reason it looks like is, one is they do not trust the quality of what it's going to deliver. Second is the very inertia because they don't know how to use it. Or in many cases, there might be situations where what they're thinking in terms of what their gut says is not exactly in the same going in the same direction as what the BI tells you. How much of that disconnect or misalignment has been experienced by people in business and in IT for them to lose trust in the very paradigm? Sue?
You know, the business so this gets back down. This gets to the way that IT needs to operate, and a bit, and having a really good understanding. Having a really good understanding of requirements is, as Tony has said, is so critical, because you will never deliver anything right if we don't really understand what the business needs and wants. And just to take that a step further. We kind of just because of the nature of IT growing up, we refer to everyone not in IT as the business, and really IT needs to be the business. I think we need to view people. We need to view the way we refer to the business as just other departments and other partners, and I think IT needs to become part of that front office business, and that means that we ourselves have knowledge and understanding of what's happening, that we don't always have to go look and find a particular person. And this is where that business relationship having really good understanding of the way our business operates, that we're not just service providers and order takers anymore, is so critical. With that being said, that doesn't take away the responsibility that we're building a solution for a business function or to solve a business need, and there needs to be someone on that business side that actually can provide their requirements and can provide it in a clear way. But IT should be the organization that translates that business speak, and we have to understand it into what a technical requirement may be. We should not expect that someone on the business side of the house is going to word things in an IT way, which I think is where I've seen failures in the past related to projects like this.
Now, actually, to build on that, I think that's a great point, is that one of my personal pet peeves is that the business often refers to IT as IT, and that they collectively refer to everybody but IT is the business, and
it's true.
And I think we need to break all of that down, because that's so far from the truth. Is that we IT are so so ingrained in the fabric of the business, and are in a very enviable position that we can see the business from a vantage point that even the business sometimes can't see. So very valid points, Stu, of really understanding, whatever function of the business, whatever their needs are, of really bridging that and probing and not taking at face value what they're saying, and really trying to make sure that we're getting the best result.
Exactly.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and see how much time and how much in urgency do we have to make decisions, whether big or small, and depending on the level of due diligence that you should otherwise be doing, but it is not performed because of lack of resources and or lack of time. So if we are going to be working in this way, so of course the resulting BI-related contribution would reduce, and that would further have a spiraling down effect where the trust towards BI will reduce, and then we'll again start tilting towards gut. So is this something that can be controlled? Is this something that we can work towards getting a better handle on? And if yes, how? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back and explore.
Markets up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call
call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Have questions about wind power? Listen for the TLG Wind Power Hour with Terry from TLG Wind Power Products. He'll cover the ins and outs of wind energy with you, whether you're a do-it-yourselfer or want a ready-made product. Let Terry give you the know-how and understanding of making wind energy work for you. Terry will share decades of hands-on experience so that you don't have to learn about wind power the hard way. The TLG Wind Power Hour, live every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Green Talk Network.
Are you looking for a show to help you increase your sales and subsequently your income? Want to know what works and what doesn't? Do you want to have some fun and learn at the same time? Listen for Let's Talk Sales to Increase Your Income with Len and Jack. Yep, it's a long title, but it's designed to educate you, the effective sales professional. Each week, hosts Len DiNincenzo and Jack Cullen will help you stay focused on doing the basics of your trade consistently well. Tune in Mondays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So, Tony, let's start with you. And when was the last time you had all the time and resources to do all the possible due diligence, get all the best quality data that's available, and then be able to deliver a very good-looking product? And when you always have this resource constraint, can you really deliver decision-making based on this BI versus having other people eventually resorting to the gut?
Well, the reality is that we're always constrained for resource, and so we never have all the resources or funding that we need in order to get a job done. But I think as a IT professionals, the real question is what business problems are trying to be solved, and how do we focus on areas that have the greatest impact to the business. And so making decisions based on scarcity of resource is a day in the life of any CIO. So to a large degree, it's really trying to understand where are areas of business intelligence or advanced analytics that could be applied that can really raise the bar. As an example of that at Alberto that I'll share is that something that we use for understanding our advertising spend. We're in the hair and beauty care business, hair care and skin care, and so we do a lot of television, print, and internet advertising, and trying to understand the effectiveness of that advertising is very important because we spend hundreds of millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars on advertising very freely, and we need to understand what the effectiveness of that is. We use some very targeted advanced analytics capabilities around understanding what kind of lift do we get on incremental revenue or demand associated with advertisements that are done, and using some marketing mix modeling tools, and that's an example where we have to make some choices around where are we going to allocate spend, and given the size of the prize, where are we going to drive the greatest amount of value. But something like that specific application can drive immense value because we're spending millions of dollars and the, you know, the return is significant.
So, Stu, in your world, how many times were you given the time to get the right type of, like, you know, of course, resource constraint time is one of the resources, but the sense of urgency, because everything has to be done yesterday, and you've been told at the 11th hour, how can you deliver?
Well, you know what, I can't remember a time that I've ever had the right amount of resources or funding. but that's really where, you know, Tony said it fantastic, that's really where the prioritization comes in, and IT sits in a very unique spot within the company. We get to see everything that happens. So we're in a this position that can bridge the gap between all of the, you know, many of the different departments and divisions and even companies that are part of the organization. So we have a unique perspective that we can look across the organization and actually connect some of the dots together. And that helps us to provide feedback to the CEO and to the board and to the other leaders of the company, or really to anyone in, I don't want to point out a particular level, really to anyone in management or decision-making capability that would help them to prioritize work that has to be done. So example here at Covanta, we're turning household waste into electricity, our primary focus is the operation and the uptime and the safety of our plants. Within IT, we're able to look across all of these different departments and organizations and not just be a provider of service, but really help the company to see the different, the big picture and all the different pieces related to outages, related to safety, related to how we operate and ways to improve efficiency. And that all goes into the prioritization of what IT projects should get done and in what priority order, and funding follows that. What's going to have the most, as Tony said, the biggest bang for the buck.
So if you've given a choice to you, would you truly like to see the 100% BI-based decision making?
I like to automate everything. So, but I think there's a reality to that there's, you're going to always have that gut part of what happens in making the decision.
One of the things that strikes me is that I've always been a believer of fact-based decision making and fact-based on the basis of, you know, really understanding what your data is and presenting that in an accurate way. But one of the things that I've learned here at Alberto is that, and we do a lot of work, a lot of consumer work, as we do, for innovation for new products, we do a lot of what's called BASES testing, where we test consumer response to specific new product introductions. And one of the things that I've learned here is that, you know, even in terms of consumer testing, is that data that is and information that comes back from consumer testing really has to be looked at very thoughtfully on the basis of the construction of questions that were given to consumers and how the responses to those questions occur, because many times there has to be really some thought given to, is there any underlying bias that could be in the responses that are being given by consumers that are really unnoticed by the consumer themselves, but because of the way the question is constructed or what have you. And so what might appear to be a very fact-based decision, upon reflection, could really yield something that's very counterintuitive and something that really requires experiential knowledge. And, our CEO has pointed out a couple times in testing that has been done on new products where even with very clear fact-based results coming back on consumer response, that those responses can't be trusted because sometimes the consumer even though they're telling us one thing, they're not really telling us the truth. And not intentionally, but because of either the construct of the survey or whatever. So I think that it is, while it's very desirable to have a total fact-based decision-making, I think that there is always going to be some level of experiential knowledge that has to be brought to the table, and the gut is going to, you know, is going to win out in those situations.
So in all the things that we end up doing here, what are the typical factors that would prevent, besides this lack of clarity, et cetera, in the data and data quality, which would prevent our decision-making from being the best, with or without BI? Two.
Well, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is not having the support of the organization. So as we were saying before, that it's absolutely critical to have alignment from the company about what you're doing and the results you're going to be delivering. That data has to be accurate, and without that, it's not going to work.
So in terms of Tony, you there? So if you were to basically talk about the same issues where the business intelligence portion of it, and we are utilizing it, and to whatever degree, we still see there are issues, and everything else remaining the same, the decision-making, the accuracy of decision, the effectiveness of decision-making reduces significantly in one situation versus another, in one environment versus another. So why is it? Is it like totally a gray and hazy area for us to even play? You there, Tony?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What was the very beginning of that, Sanjay?
What I'm basically saying is, like I asked too, that everything else remaining the same, are there certain things which prevent decision making to be completely a hazy area or completely a gray area, so that BI could at most come and be an aid, but not completely help take over and make it the best possible decision-making that we ever had? It looks like we are too dependent on too many factors. It's very fluid. And BI seems to be one small component.
Yeah, and in my experience, the example that I gave earlier around the consumer and how how that information can be put together, where you've got, again, a lot of this comes back to your point, is the quality of the data that you're gathering, and the and how much bias that there might be associated with events that are occurring in terms of data gathering, and in my experience is that wherever you're doing any kind of surveying, that the quality of how the survey is put together can have a significant effect on that. In many other transactional elements of running our business, I think we can rely with a fair degree of confidence in the information that we're receiving, as long as the data that is being gathered is accurate. But in terms of constructing specific kind of surveys, I mean, sometimes those that could lead to bias that you would have to factor out.
Let's take a quick break, listeners, and we'll be right back after these messages. The thing which we should look at is, what if the decision made where you had a very high-quality BI solution in place, it goes wrong? So did we use BI to defend that I did whatever I could do best and I don't know why did it go wrong? Or are we trying to use really make sure that increase the accuracy of the BI? What's the intent with which BI is being utilized, and how does that impact what the final results are? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Markets up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you.
call now toll-free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Money. We love it, we hate it, and everything in between. You can be the master of your life and your own economics. Join Professor Lori Lamantia each week for the program, Making Peace with Money. Lori will help you realize the power to create fulfillment in your life and shed new light on your money madness. You'll learn how to make peace with money and feel the joy and freedom renewed in your life. Making Peace with Money is broadcast live every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Being here with Ariel and Shia Kane is an ordinary person's guide to modern-day enlightenment. This show is an exciting exploration which opens the door to living in the moment. Don't miss being here. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern with Ariel and Shia Kane right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So the question here is, suppose a decision that was made with a healthy dose of BI-related input, it turns out to be wrong. So now, who should take the accountability for this failure? Is BI being used to something like predicting weather, and then if it doesn't behave, it was supposed to snow and it is sunny, then nobody gets fired because we tried to do whatever we could do best? Is that where the accountability should be for anyone implementing and or owning BI? Tony?
Well, I would tend to believe that, you know, if you have a BI solution and you get a poor result from it, then obviously in terms of, you know, root cause analysis of why did you get the bad result, whatever it was, you know, tends to, you know, bring you all the way back to the data and then what is the, how did you solution it. But to a certain degree, and even in advanced analytics, there's always, you know, where you're using multivariate statistical analysis techniques as an example for marketing mix modeling or trade promotion management or category management in our case at Alberto. There's always a possibility that you can have, you know, some degree of error. But in terms of accountability, this is another reason why it's so very critical to have very clear business ownership of who owns this solution. From end to end, from data through the solution to you know, the presentation of that data for consumption and insights to action. So I think in our search for answers in improved decision making, you know, BI can't and IT for that matter can't become, you know, the sole owner of any bad decision that arises as a result of a business intelligence initiative, but we do need to have, I think that's why it's so very critical to have very clear ownership from the business of who's accountable for this solution.
Can we ever have technology be made accountable for a business decision going wrong? And Stu, would you say that you would still want a human being whose neck is to be grabbed if a decision goes bad?
Well, it Probably. But it just depends on what the BI tool is being used for. I think BI is one of the many tools in IT's toolbox that has to be applied to the right situation. So I would personally not want a BI tool to be the only decision factor of should we purchase a company or not, or anything related to a merger and acquisition. I think it's a critical input that needs to be taken very seriously. But you can't factor out the experience of people and executives, and at least in today's world, that's hard to build into a computer system that is reasonably priced anyway. There's just that level of experience that someone needs to interpret the data. If you're talking about business intelligence for an operational type of role, like my example of predicting the failure of hardware or predicting business results to try to proactively react to something before it becomes a problem, I think those are excellent areas for BI to not just be part of the role, but in many cases be the an automated solution that is actually analyzing data and in some ways acting and really in some ways acting on it. And one example, not in my industry, but there are very sophisticated BI tools that are analyzing credit card transactions. But in the end, the computer is not calling the person who may be defaulting on a credit card a bill. It's someone who is looking at the data saying, oh, look, these flags were raised. Let me call this person and see what's going on.
Tony, what would be your instructions to the person who's running the BI function? What is that? Their challenges, et cetera, that you're going to put in front of them, and what's the holy grail that they're supposed to aspire for?
Well, in any BI function, I think that it's very clear to understand within the business what stakeholders are you working for in the business, and what problems are we trying to solve, and that we have clear ownership from the business of any work that is being done. So BI is an instrument that can provide great value to the business if it's used appropriately, and its being used appropriately implies having clarity of purpose. What exactly is it that you want to? What problem are you trying to solve, and for whom are you trying to solve that problem? What information are you arming to what individuals? And what insights then can they gain and act upon? And so BI needs to be looked at end to end, from starting with data and clarity around data ownership, not underestimating data, not underestimating solutioning whatever the BI solution is, and also whoever the end users of these solutions, of making them, putting yourself in their shoes and understanding how are they going to be using these tools. But I think from a standpoint of what we're looking for is to move BI from what is really just base reporting in our systems, which we've produced hundreds of reports that add little or no value to the business, to analytic capabilities that really look at things and correlate multiple events using multivariate statistical analysis and things of that nature, and then moving that from not only analytics but also predictive modeling and understanding how do we then predict what will occur based on these variables and the correlation between these variables. And then with a high degree of predictability for certain events, the ability to then automate that using business process modeling and management techniques. And so ultimately then to where certain events occur that we can trigger other transactions automatically in the system. So, I mean, in terms of holy grail, that would be, that would be close to where we should be aspiring.
Stu, you got 15 seconds. What is your final message for people who are fighting this battle between gut feel and the BI?
I think there's room for both, and neither should be ignored. BI needs to be applied at the right place at the right time to solve the right problem. Focus on priorities. Focus on the biggest ways that having BI can impact the business and bring value.
Thank you so much, Tony and Stu, for sharing your thoughts about this interesting topic with respect to a fight that we always have between gut feel and BI. And hopefully the world out there would understand that while we being human beings, we will never lose that gut. However, if they can use BI, they can just improve the predictability of the results of a decision being made. Thank you so much again.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sunjal Gall next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.